Good to see you all here. Even when we change the time, that's always a tricky thing. It's good to see you all here. I recently saw the movie Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures. I don't know if you've seen that movie. I just saw it recently because in our household, Mary and I, with the way our schedules are, we rarely go to the movies. So the Academy Awards for us are always to see what movies we should see this coming year. It's kind of like, oh, these are the ones that came to the top. Let's watch these. So we wait till they come out in DVD. But I saw the movie Hidden Figures, which is just a great movie, worth seeing. A story of three African-American women who worked for NASA, particularly in those late 1950s, early 1960s, and had such an essential role in the early space program, particularly the first few astronauts that were sent into space. And their names are Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson. And the movie kind of shows a little bit of each of their contributions to what went on at that time, showing how racism expressed itself in that time. Racism seems to always express itself. It's not expressing itself now, it always is. But at that time, you could see, and for myself, looking at that movie, realizing I was alive at that time and lived in that kind of a world, it's pretty incredible to watch. It's a movie worth seeing. These women were part of a group of folks who worked at NASA, and it seems they would go to work in different departments as needed. And most of them, their talent was talents with math, with analytical geometry. I'm not even sure what that is, but it was needed. And they had these great skills, and they were referred to as computers. Computers. They were the ones who computed. They were the computers. I need a computer to help. And there's a scene in the movie where the guy's head of this area is, I need a computer. And so one woman is sent in, and she has an incredible impact on the space program. See the movie. I'm not here to tell you all the details of the movie, but it's a movie worth seeing. But there is one scene that I remember that spoke to me as I was thinking about a homily today, and it was a scene where there was this big empty room. And in this scene, these two folks are speaking to each other. And one says, well, why is this room empty? He says, well, it's going to be filled with a machine. There's a machine coming that's going to go in here. And he said, what's the machine going to do? He says, well, the machine is going to do this math much faster than any human can and will get things accomplished quicker and sooner than some of the human computering that we have the advantage of. And so the guy says to this one guy, well, what kind of machine is this? And he saw it's IBM. And he said, what does that mean? And he says, International Business Machines, I think. And okay, well, I hope this works. Hope it helps. And when the machine finally arrives, they can't get it through the doorway because no one thought of the size of the machine. And this is all real stuff. You know, it's amazing when you think what we did in that era in getting our first astronauts into space. Some say the technology was less than what we have on our cell phones, you know, but we did incredible things. So that scene of the movie, to me, is deliberately meant to give the reaction that I had, like, you never heard of IBM? Hasn't IBM always been around? You know, there's a time where there wasn't IBM. And so, you know, I remember what do these machines do? In my first parish, after I was ordained a priest, I was a priest in a parish in Dutchess County, New York, if some of you are familiar with that area. Just about everybody in the parish worked for IBM. And I'd be shaking hands with people, IBM, IBM. And I remember talking to my pastor. I was the Javier at that time. And talking to my pastor, saying, all these people work for IBM. Like, what do they do? When they go to work, what do they do? And coming out of seminary with all my learning in theology and philosophy. So my pastor said, well, ask them. So I did. And one Sunday, people were leaving, and I got to know a few people. These are folks who worked at IBM in Fishkill, New York, Poughkeepsie, New York, and Kingston, New York. And I said to one of them, I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, what? I said, so you get up in the morning, you go to work. He went to Fishkill. So when you get to work, like, what do you do? And he said, come and see. And we spent a whole day together If anyone has any history here, because I know folks, there are IBMers here in our parish. Anyone's in the Fishkill facility, I got a grand tour of that back in 1980. I'm sure it's different now. Even the time is, what folks are doing now has changed so much. And so as I listen to that movie, listening to folks hear one another, what you were seeing was a culture and a time changing, race relationships, some powerful scenes in that movie of folks trying to knock down the barriers. A new technology coming in, what is it? And so often seeing things in a kind of a different way, and we can sometimes presume that things are seen by everybody in the same way, that the way I understand things is the way everybody understands things, the way I see things, the way everybody sees things. And sometimes time changes that, sometimes culture and engaging with one another changes that. And I think sometimes, I wonder if we as people of faith, we as a church sometimes, can function in a world where we think everybody knows what we're doing. Everybody knows what we're about. Everybody knows who Jesus is. Everybody knows what the gospel is. You know, go out into the world. But I think we don't live in that kind of a world. Wherever we are, we can think everybody understands what I understand. And yet I think we need to be at a time in our church today where we can't presume that or assume that, but share our story. And what this all leads me to is this first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul today is preaching. It's probably just about my favorite scene from the Acts of the Apostles. It's a scene where Paul is preaching. Remember, Paul was somebody who, you've heard this many times, broke beyond the gathered community. The early Christians were all Jewish, and Paul is breaking beyond that barrier. And he's in the Areopagus, as it's called, and he's roaming around, and he has this message of the gospel to preach. And in this area where he was, there were these shrines or these altars that were dedicated to the gods. Remember, the folks believed in many gods. So I don't know what the particular shrines or altars were, but there was the altar, the shrine maybe to Venus or to Zeus or to the numerous gods that they had. But the interesting thing is that they had one altar, one shrine, that was said it was named to an unknown god. Just to cover their bases, you know what I'm saying? Just to cover their bases. The unknown god. We may not know this one, but we got it covered. And Paul comes into this. The great gift of Paul, and we're named after St. Paul. The great gift of Paul was his ability to listen and know what was before him, and somehow allow the gospel to speak to that, to speak to that culture, to that time, to that people. And so he takes this opportunity and he says, see this altar to an unknown god? I know this God. What a great segue. I know this God. I know this unknown God. And I want to preach to you about Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth and his Father who he's revealed to us. And he speaks to the folks in that community. Sometimes I think we can forget that. So often in our lives, and in both church life or personal lives, in our church life, we feel a need to go out into the world and let people know about St. Paul's. We got to tell everybody about St. Paul's. But what Paul did was go out into the world to learn about who's out there, so that the community could respond to that with what it already has, and perhaps with what it is yet to have, as the gift of responding. And so as a community of faith, we're called to engage with the world to bring what we have, but to listen to the unknown out there. They may have had an altar to an unknown God, but there are lots of unknowns in our lives, unknowns in our world that we need to speak to and help people discover and discern in their lives. Jesus is such a gift at this. You know, you've heard me say this before, whenever we meet somebody, so often when we meet somebody for the first time, we want to show them our best side. you know, almost like, how lucky you are to have met me. What I can do for you. That's, I mean, that's an exaggeration. But that idea, when you look at the gospel, when Jesus encountered people, Jesus always tried to show folks their best side. Jesus always tried to show folks a sense of who they are and who they could become and come to know who they are and know what their needs are. Jesus is walking along a road and he sees the blind man. He sees the person who can't walk. He sees what's before him. He sees people in poverty and he responds. That to me is the challenge, and I think the great gift the church is called to today in this world, to see what is beyond us, to find ways to speak the gospel to that world. And that's not easy, because it's easy to speak about the way we experience the holy. It's easy to speak about the way God has touched our lives. But to engage with folks and try to discern how can I express to this individual or this community of folks who God can be for them in their lives. So as we gather during this Easter season, I offer that as a reflection. As we gather together as a parish today, to really get together as a family, and to care for each other and just celebrate who we are as a community of faith. This is a day to get together, have food, have some fun time, and just celebrate that, knowing that we are a people called to such wonderful things in our lives. And so I share those thoughts with you today as we're called to be that people going forth and listening and discerning how we can continue to become church as it did in the time of Jesus, as it did in the time of St. Paul. Who can we become? And how is God acting in our midst?